Hi, this is different. We need to get intro music.
Yes, we do. Hey, it's very somber, very somber opening, actually.
Very, very serious for once. Yes. Oh, yes. What's going on, dude? You doing okay?
I'm doing pretty good. Good. I'm glad to be back in the batch era. Another batch era. Brian popping in. Here we go. Yes. Brian, listen, Brian the other day was wondering, inquiring minds wanted to know it's between Scotty and I, who was a top, who was a bottom? And now you get the layout.
You'll
and everything.
Get the answer. So,
yeah. The answer your answer is for. Right here. Yeah.
Oh, in all seriousness, no. We're very excited to be here talking about Bad Batch. And we've got some hot takes right from the beginning for anyone that, knows us and knows us well. And this is also a different way of going live. What do y'all think of this? Do you like it? Do you not like it? Be honest. Yeah. We got three people watching. I haven't checked Instagram.
Where's all our Zoomers? How are our Zoomers feeling tonight?
We should be live on Instagram as well. Let me double check if that's the case. I don't know.
We sound like 60 years old right now. We should be live on Instagram.
We're live on the Instagrams. No, Instagram, we're not live. I don't know why, but I set it all up. That's okay. That was worth a try.
I was alive whenever the first Instagram was sent.
Wait a minute. I click start broadcast. Maybe it is live on Instagram.
Radio Wire.
Oh, we are live on Instagram. How cool is
what?
This? We're live on Instagram.
Weird. Oh, now I gotta do it.
That is so
what
cool.
What is going on?
Wow. Weird.
This is why you guys come here. Okay.
Katie, that's what I was telling you. We are vertical. You're vertical.
Wow!
Yeah, we're live on Instagram. Whenever we get to TikTok, I'm gonna be very excited. But speaking of, please, by all means, if you haven't yet, we want to get to 1,000 followers. We want to go live on there as well. We won't always go live in this format from here on out. This is something we're experimenting with for Bad Batch coverage. And if we see it's not successful, we won't keep doing it. But that's just the fun part of testing and experimenting with these things. And plus, we want to be able to clip these things out and be able to put them on our TikToks and put them on our other social spaces. Yeah. Because we want more people to join the Bombad fam besides just a couple. Like, look, it says right here, you guys are really small if you keep the live chat open. Okay, thank you for letting us know. And Gannon, Patrick, this is a little trippy. I will admit that is a little different.
It is, but you love it. Admit it. Yes. You love it. Listen, you can be as lazy as possible. You don't have to turn your wrist or anything. I'm going to get back in the frame here. It's just to get used to, something to get used to. But listen, the wave of the future is this. We're not going to be left with the granddaddies, at the nursing home.
Not yet.
We have to we're
adapt.
Diversifying our content as well.
That's right.
Because that only means good things for all of you. That only means more Bombad content. I mean, and what more could you want?
Well, like this. So to give a little bit of backstory, we used to do a Patreon exclusive live show when we covered Andor. And we saw that the numbers for those episodes weren't as great as we had wanted them to be. So we thought, well, might as well make this experience for everyone in a different format. And so, like I said, big experiment here. We're seeing if this works. We're going to look at the data. If you don't like it, then I completely get it. You let us know. Like Patrick said right here, nurse me back to the horizontal. I don't blame you. That's completely fair. Or
listen,
this,
sir, you have to buy me dinner first. Okay.
It's good. Yeah. Understand, I want to go to is the one from Bubba Hotep. I know what that is.
Bubba, I know what Boba Hotep is. I haven't seen it. Brian, please don't unsubscribe.
Yes. And also, we also have other social pages as well. If you haven't followed us yet, Bombadcast Facebook, Bombadcast Instagram, Bombadcast Twitter, obviously. And of course, TikTok, Bombadcast, with my head covering a little bit. But all that being said, Jerry, Bad Batch.
Yeah, that last bit says cast. If you can't see
it. For those that don't know, Jerry, what did you think of our return, and do you have any hot takes you want to share before we go any further?
Do we kind of talked a little beforehand. Do we want to share that hot take or what? Because like my hot take is just that I didn't forget how much I love the Bad Batch. It just I was able this morning to remember how much I love basking in the warmth of what this show is. And it's not there's a lot of really, like, you know, serious stuff in this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's got a lot of it's got that spirit of Star Wars. Mm-hmm. It's got a little bit of everything, right? It's maybe a little slower burn, but I really kind of dig that personally.
So to me, it's like the melding of Rebels and Clone Wars. It's got family.
Yeah. But
it's also got some cool canon moments. You've also got there's some ruthlessness in these two episodes that I was very surprised by with one of the characters. There's also some really good tones of like family problems. You know what I mean? Like I really, really enjoyed, you know, the struggle that, you know, what happened whenever Omega overheard Echo, and, you know, mixed intentions of what certain things said. You know, it became more of a sitcom's not the right word, because it's not really a comedy, but every episode, at least these first two and previous season, have all felt very like, you know, someone says something, let's figure this out. The whole episode hinders on what that one person said, or that one mission, or one person's outlook. And we got a lot more Echo, which I'm very happy about. That was one of my bigger complaints.
That was a big thing from last year. Everyone was like, we didn't get hardly any Echo development in this.
Yeah. But this one episode, he had a whole arc. Hold on, a whole arc.
He and Tech, who were kind of sidelined, it felt a little bit last season.
Yeah,
if they were put on the right on the front line, like, we got a lot of interesting stuff, like seeing Tech with like the injury in the second episode was not interesting. It was a little nerve wracking.
Yeah,
a little bit.
I agree. Felt like anemic a little bit. You're like, oh God. Oh
yeah. Yeah. I saw someone posted something. I forget who. Is like, Nimic would like to have a chat with Bad Batch or something. Yes.
This is too. Sean says right here, this is fantastic. The new armor is pretty nice. It's like a whole new character model too. It's not just armor. Their hair's a little bit different. Everyone's looks a little bit different, and everyone, like, Omega looks awesome. Fantastic looking.
Perfect.
But yeah, I can guess we can share a quick hot take here.
Let's get the hot take, Scotty. What's the hot take? Pull yourself up big. All
and
right?
we got about 12 people watching. Thank you everyone for watching right now. This is a different format. I know it's different than what you expect, but I like it more than Andor. I know it's weird, and people are gonna be like, what the hell is wrong with you? But like,
They're gonna be like, he's not. He's not a scholar. This man literally teaches the youth.
But maybe that's why I like it. Maybe because it's a little bit more digestible. Maybe it's a little bit more. I've been sitting by Star Wars Explained. What's going on?
Welcome.
That's great. Emma. Alex is a good friend of ours. We've done a lot of work together with Alex Molly.
Thanks to Alex and Molly for the shout-out. That's why you're here.
A stream snipe, if you will. No, and all that being said, though, it is a hot take that I do like this more than Andor, but I think it's because it's a return to form. And you said earlier, before we even went live, that there was something you...
Oh, were, Alex is in the chat, too. What?
Alex is here hanging out.
What's up, Alex?
This. Well, I was texting. I was literally texting him last night. That's awesome. Thanks for coming by, Alex. Yannick's here too. Oh, look at all these new Bomb Bag fans. Look at all these. This is great.
Welcome. Listen, welcome. We're just excited to be here. We're excited to vertically be with you.
Yeah, it's very different.
We're going to keep referencing it at least this episode. We're going to keep referencing.
It's different.
We're in a box.
We're in a box, but like a hot dog box. And all that being said, I think I said it enough.
From the gas station. Like, we're like a couple of taquitos from the gas station. Yeah.
That's right.
We might give you indigestion.
I will say it again. I liked it more than Andor. I liked it more than Andor because and every episode of Andor, except for the finale, I always left feeling like a little bit like, ugh, like it always feels a little bit. Like you feel the weight of the empire on you, whereas this show, it always feels like you can overcome any of the problems. And like the best part is Echo, the whole episode's like, hey, we can take this and use it for good, not just for our personal use. And I'm like, this can get us out of the problems. We have to go back and fight the bigger fight. And I mean, I don't know. How do you feel about all that? Did you like it more than Andor? I know it's silly, but I woke up. I was refreshed. I felt refreshed after watching this show.
That is a great way to put it.
Shows can do that.
That's a great way to put it because I felt like that as well. Emma, pull the comments up real quick.
Of course.
I've always felt a little exhausted after Andor. I just feel excited after Bad Batch.
Yes. Yes.
Again, Andor is, we're not saying we hate.
I loved Andor.
At all. No, I love, but again, what's cool about Star Wars, you got so many different levels. Mm-hmm. You know, you could do all these different things. And Andor by design is supposed to be oppressive and heavy. You're supposed to feel the boot. That is, and I made a thread about this and everything, you know, kind of like I am the canon junkie. I love to like watch through this stuff multiple times.
Oh, your
a year
canon rewatch. Yeah, bring that up because I forgot about
and,
that.
And right. Well, and so you know, I got to the dark times and on Disney Plus, they have Andor right before Rogue One. Mm. And, you know, but technically the first season of Andor takes place right around the same time as like the first season of Rebels.
Yeah.
Right. But how I watched it this time was I got done with Kenobi, which is hopeful, but very, that's also very heavy. It's a very, not stressful. Kenobi was an emotional thrill ride.
Yes, very emotional. I agree.
So Bad Batch to Kenobi to Andor.
Mm-hmm.
You really feel that ramp up to the boot coming down on your head.
That makes sense.
Andor is the boot pushing you into the dirt.
Yeah.
And then you go into Rebels thinking, here, okay, I'm tired. Like you're about to throw that person off of you and just start marching towards changing everything. Mm-hmm. It's the begin. That's the decline into, like, Rebels is the decline into the original trilogy, into the rebellion, into we're fighting these bastards. We're gonna get, like Marva said, I'd get up early and be fighting these bastards. You know. But no. So all that being said, I think you're right. I kind of feel the same way because, again, I was very just delighted to be like it, there's the I took notes. I didn't take notes on Andor. Like, again, like I remembered everything in Andor because it was trauma. I kept, like, every time I heard a loud noise, I would duck my head like a TIE fighter was flying by because Andor was so good in, like, making you scared of every little thing you've known your whole life. But you have, like, all this, like, from the incredible Kevin Kiner score, right? Mm-hmm. Like, by the way, Kevin Kiner should, like, everyone says this, Kevin Kiner should, like, do a live action film.
I agree.
Like, let him score one. This man's, like, I was just, like, delighted with, like, the way he works the Bad Batch theme into it. Like, the Bad Batch theme is becoming more, like, even more iconic by the day, in my opinion. Like that mixed with that Omega kind of overture. I love the Omega overture that goes along with it. But yeah, no, you've got like the adventure, like it starts off like balls to the wall, right? Like an insane, like we, and this is the sequence that we saw at Celebration.
Yeah. Cause we, you know, little backstory, Jared and I happened to go to the actual panel live whenever they had it. So it was we got lucky. We got to sit in, towards the front. We watched the full thing. And I'll never forget sitting there because we watched the Clone Wars season 7 panel in Celebration 2019 together too. So it's been like animation. I don't know what it is, but us have always.
It's one of our jam.
Animation. Why? So, I guess it's very Bombad of us. I mean, that's
because animation was the first place where they started blending stuff from the movies that hadn't been together yet. That, like, you had stuff from the original trilogy meeting the prequel trilogy, meeting not as much the sequel trilogy, but like you had all of that combining in animation first.
I agree.
They didn't want to try it on screen, and now we've got it. And, like, you know, people will say, like,
Mando
cameos,
live
action stuff. But this, I think that, like, cheapens what it is so much. What's up, Star Wars Sublight?
Sublight.
Thanks for joining us.
Great name.
It's Star Wars animation has a magic to it where, like, especially Clone Wars and all this, it has the same feel. Mm-hmm. It has the magic. It still has the magic of Star Wars. It doesn't feel any less valuable.
So wait, it feels it watching Bad Batch. Okay, this is the best way I can put it. I'm gonna pull myself up big for this one. And for those please maybe do. Haven't had this realization, like I said earlier, and Jerry said earlier too, Andor has its own flavor, its own taste, its own feel. Mando has its own Book of Boba Fett. I mean, all Kenobi, all these shows have their own approaches and own feels. But like, do you remember how you felt when you watched Han, Leia, Chewbacca, and Luke run through the Death Star? And to meet Obi-Wan and to run into the Falcon, that energy, to me, that is how Bad Batch feels. And I mean that wholeheartedly. It feels like the whole episode feels like you've got this great sense of camaraderie, or even the camaraderie in episode 9. I love seeing all those characters jam-packed together for like a whole hour and a half long sequence from Bassana all the way until they get to, what's the snow planet called?
Kijimi.
Like, I loved all that. Even when they raid that Star Destroyer, like, those are the moments that work for me. And unfortunately, at least from what I see, and this is not a dissing on Andor's show, but Andor was a lot about a single person having to convince other people to be, you know, to rise up, to be bigger people. Whereas with Bad Batch, it's characters playing off characters. It kind of has an Avengers feel because you almost have to think, well, what is that person thinking of? What's going on? Look at this. We got a super chat.
Whoa.
This is awesome.
Thank you.
I want Delta Squad. And honestly, I think we're going to get that. I think because we know for a fact that screeners went out for this show, but we know the last two episodes were not sent out. So I think I'm not saying it's going to build a Delta Squad, but we got a big tease with Delta Squad at the very end of the last season with Mount Tantus and everything going on there too. But,
they released the episode titles. They released the episode titles, you know, so we know we're getting there. Sorry, bring up AZ. Bring up AZ. Yep. Also, thank you, Thanura. Thank you for the super chat. I wrote in my notes because, like, I've been wondering since AZ, like, made it on the ship, right? Like, his power went out, and I was like, is AZ? Where's AZ? Is he okay? Is he safe? And here he is. He's hanging out there with my boys, Ketch and Bolo, right? Yep. Like, Ketch and Bolo are still hanging out in the bar. And he's just, like, serving drinks now, which I want to – so I want AZ to go on a mission with them. I want AZ to go on a mission with the Batch. And Pie in the Sky dreams, this may not happen for another season or two, but if Bolo and Ketch are still there, Ketch and Bolo – and if you guys don't know who I'm talking about, it's the Weequay and the Ithorian who are hanging in there betting on whether Omega can hit the target and stuff like that. Those guys are, and they were actually in the Clone Wars season 7. They were in the prison with I don't think it's been confirmed, but it's the same exact character models.
Yeah.
Blue eyes and everything. Like, they both have like really distinctive eyes. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, I'm in love with Ketch and Bolo for some reason. My pie in the sky is I want Ketch and Bolo. I'm getting so sweaty right now. I want Ketch and Bolo to go on a mission with the Batch as well. Yeah. Like, I want them to get dragged in or something. Like, they're like out for a cruise. They're like, oh no, we gotta help them, I guess, you know.
But it's funny,
maybe they have the Cockney accent. I don't know if they have the same Cockney accent that the other Weequays have or whatever, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because, you know, and maybe this is just me, I like watching those characters because they almost have their own little mini arc too throughout this whole series.
Yeah.
And this is, okay, for those that don't know, most of the things yes, exactly. I love a good buddy adventure. Bad Batch feels kind of like a buddy adventure. It's everyone hanging out, but that's amazing.
It's a little bit indeed. Of that. It's a family. Like, so I said last season, it's Full House in space during Nazi Germany.
Yes.
Like, or Full House during Nazi Germany.
But in space.
In space.
Yeah.
But in space. That's what it is.
You know? But it's funny because
so much better than that.
You take a show like Bad Batch, and you've got so much potential for certain things to happen. And one of the ones I didn't expect was going back to Count Dooku's, you know, lair, I guess his house, that I didn't realize overlooked all of Sereno.
I didn't expect it so soon. I didn't, because you see the window, the iconic trailer window now in the trailer. And we were like, everyone, I remember, like, friend of the show, Charlie Ashby, Diaz, Nikki Kumar, all of them be like,
That's is that Evan Sereno? That's fucking Sereno right there. That's the like that's the guest count. Dooku's Castle.
First episode. So weird.
It's the didn't first expect episode, like Castle Sereno. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you want us to go to Castle Sereno and pick up what was it? Dooku's war chest.
Yeah. Right? But wait, this too, and you'll like this for a canon reason. But there's reasons why now that some of these prequel planets aren't showing up in the original trilogy, are not known in the original trilogy. And
because they got effing bombarded.
Yes. And I'm sitting there going, this is such good canon because this can even excuse things. Like they said, Topeka City, perfect example. Sereno now. I'm sure they'll even do that with other planets that we've been to and traveled to and I guess, you know, the great Star Wars lore. But like that is just – that's how you do that. Without wasting time on it. They're just like, oh my God, this place must have got hit by an orbital bombardment as well. Just like Kamino. And I'm like, this is just so good.
And frankly, I want to see – like it adds layers because it's that petty bitch who loves – the sloppy bitch who loves drama that is Sheev Palpatine.
Yes, right? Yes.
He's such a – like he is so petty. That he like, I mean, we see that with Operation Cinder. We got like before the sequel trilogy was done. You know, we got a lot of stuff about Operation Cinder about like I'm gonna burn all these planets who fought me to the ground.
That's right.
You know, we'll see what you're doing then. You know, like I mean, that's Sheev Palpatine. And now he's like, no, okay, destroy Topeka. Let's destroy the cloning facility. Wipe Dooku's city off the map. It's very mm-hmm. You can hear him wipe out. I don't even bring me his money and then blow it all to hell, you know. It's very Palpatine. It adds a lot to it, and it like you're saying, it adds a lot of it, like why aren't we seeing this stuff? And it makes me kind of sad, knowing that some of this stuff isn't around in the universe. I mean, obviously Sereno still is, right? It's just it's that capital city and Dooku's castle that got absolutely ransacked.
It's also cool because, you know, you even take that idea, right? He's wiping out his past. He's trying to Dooku's trying to make up anything. I'm sorry, Sidious doing anything he can to wipe out what he did. Literally Kylo Ren, you know, kill the past, right?
It's not even like cutting the loose ends, and they're like it's not even like tying up loose ends. It's completely burning the rope.
Yes,
and
literally.
Like I don't know what you're talking about. There's nothing. There's literally nothing.
That
there's
never like existed.
Ruins. That's not – you think I had something to do with those ruins?
This is where it's cool, and this is something I thought about too. We got a great show like Tales of the Jedi, which tell us that Count Dooku would stand up for Sereno because he stood up for that little town that was getting destroyed by that senator. Yeah. Remember that?
Well, back and in so, that like, time.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. He had gotten – his hubris, I guess, everything about him, what he used to stand for, ended up getting, you know, broken down even further. And I'm like, this is just – like – he became the thing he hated, and that's what I love about that. I love that. Like you're showing that war, even when it's
yes. she's always a widow, never a divorcee.
That's so true.
they're under his driveway. All of them. Every last.
I don't know where she's they went. Third died. We don't know how.
Oh, my ex-wife years. Gone. My gone. Ex-husband too. That's right. That's right.
But like you get these little visual cues. You get all these changes, and like, you know, I'm happy it wasn't the TK stormtroopers. We didn't, you know, I'm happy it was clone troopers. And it shows what I love about Bad Batch too is it shows them using the actual tasing, you know, whatever it's called, the stun blaster.
They're like, really trying hard.
Yes,
and really trying.
Except
hard.
For Wrecker. Wrecker was like,
no, but that can't. He mainly like so they'll do what they can to take out like what they you know like you got to use the big guns on like a V wing and things like that. But so this is something I kept thinking in my head. Are we gonna? We're gonna see this season. I feel like when they finally have to cross that line.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna see where they have to make the hard choice that we have to switch to kill.
Yes,
because it's not working anymore.
Nope.
But you see, they are trying. They're trying very hard. They're using smoke bombs. They're using like all through these two episodes,
whole episodes.
They're trying so hard. And I'm not saying I think they should give up their ideals. I know I think they should try to do what they can for their brothers and stuff. But
yeah,
but it's you. I just have a feeling, a gut instinct that that's where we're kind of heading, mm-hmm. is because it was so prevalent in this episode. It's like, I think we're going to have to see when they have to use kill, you know, and that
it has to be the TK troopers, at least to me. And this is great. Yes. And I look at this. Emma, you're a part of the Bombad fam. You're making such good points this evening.
Welcome, Emma.
I love how easy it is to tell the difference between the stun and the kill functions. Great. Yes, because – and I think it even is in A New Hope where Leia gets hit by the stun. It's a circle.
She gets the blast and everything.
Yeah, she gets the circle blast.
It's very prominent in – they do it so well in this animation, though.
Yeah, like they really do.
Yeah, because you don't see it very much in the films, right? Like, honestly, it's A New Hope and Last Jedi. Right?
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Those are the Ryan two. Johnson, not a Star Wars fan. Come on. And I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm joking. Those of you who are new, we fucking love Ryan Johnson. Excuse my language.
It's so cool to be able to take in a new season of this show because, you know, with the last season, there was some growing pains, not for the viewer, at least. Maybe some of you might have felt that way. But, like, I don't know. I watched the show. I'm like, well, I'm only excited for where they can go and what they pull off. And like the part where they're in the old battle, the battle droid tanks, and they're pulling them out, the Separatist tanks, and they're trying to rig that up. And then you've got Echo fixing that guy's little memory bank. And I'm like, this is just like,
by the way, so many
moving parts. I love it.
Oh, it's got that. Like, and I mean, Andor did very well, I think, with like dividing the action among all of its characters.
Yeah.
And again, we love Andor, but we're kind of enjoying Bad Batch is back to that Star Wars magic and fun, that excitement. Mm-hmm. So Wrecker MacGyvering that cannon to work was cool. So fun. I loved that. I loved that he and again, we talked about earlier, Hunter and Wrecker kind of took a back seat in this one.
Yes.
A little bit.
Yes.
They were still a part of it, but it felt like the emotional focus was on Echo, Tech, and Omega.
Well, Omega was the plot point, you know? And I think it might have been
she's the heart of the show.
Well, Alex earlier. I listened to Alex's review and he said his favorite part was when Omega was stuck with either getting the treasure or escaping, right? You know, like we can get out of this if I just had this one bag of stuff. And he made the parallel on one of his reviews earlier that it was because it felt like Indiana Jones. It felt like what's the last one called?
Last Crusade.
Yeah.
Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, soon to be Dial of Destiny.
That's right. Last Crusade has that moment where Indy's like, we've got the Holy Grail right here. And he's like, Jonesy, we gotta go. And I'm like,
that was a very good, by the way. Very good. Thanks. Sean Connery.
The beginning,
Jonesy. I felt like Sean Connery was in the room with us for a second.
Can't stand you. But there's that moment, right? There is that father-daughter moment. And I love, and I know you can relate to this a lot, but I love the like, they're all having to be kind of parents to this child. They're adopted kids, but they
Omega
see her
and
as
her four dads. For
they
real.
See her as an equal now, as opposed to the last season, way more of an equal. The last season was very much like, you're just a kid. You need to stay in the ship. But now they're letting her learn. They're letting her be more a part of the crew when she's on the little chain thing, you know, bowing all
that
those.
That whole sequence was so effing cool.
So fun.
So cool.
I know.
Like, just like, oh my God. So I have to just real quick a shout out again. So like, yes, those of you who are just joining us, I am a girl dad. I have a 5-year old, blonde little 5-year old. And just like, I see so much of her in Omega and vice versa. So this show kind of has a special place in my heart and everything. Again, people joke and call it the Dad Batch and things like that, but it's got a lot of those themes. And something that I'm very, and you can pull me back because I want to have a conversation about this.
Of course.
This is my hot take, honestly. I think Michelle Ang is giving us one of the best, if not, it's the best performance we've had in animation yet.
Oh, wow. That's a very bold statement.
Michelle Ang is, you know how when you have like someone who's clearly an adult trying to play a child, mm-hmm. and it comes across as like, I'm doing my kid voice a little, a little bit. Again, like we did a lot of good, like Freddie Prinze Jr. did a little bit of that in the last season of Bad Batch.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not knocking it and everything, but Michelle, and I'm not even talking about her tone of voice. Michelle Aang gives Omega such a true, earnest genuineness of a child.
I agree.
Of a, and not like, but yet still, she's again, still very smart, still very resourceful. Still, I mean, kids are.
Yeah.
People like kids are dumb, but yeah, kids are also very smart and resourceful. Kids are also
way smart.
Brave, stupidly brave.
Yep.
You know, they're like, again, she goes out to do this because she wants to make up for what she feels like she's wronged the crew, which is heartbreaking. And that, like, that talk with her and Omega, I'm in tears at the end of each episode of The Bad Batch because usually it's she sits down with one of her dads and or slash brothers
every time,
and they have a talk. It's the Full House hug moment.
Uh huh.
They always every sit time. Down and the lesson learned. But I like everything, like from the just the way that she says, yeah, that was fun though. Mm-hmm. Like the delivery, I think that Michelle Aang gives one of the best performances in all of Star Wars animation. And that's
opinion. A good take though. Well, you got to think,
I feel
too,
like it's the truth.
You've got a very,
yes, yes, Emma. Very, yes. She embodies the innocence, curiosity, and hope of children. Absolutely.
Perfectly said. Because I was going to say, you've got contrast. It doesn't feel artificial. Dee Bradley Baker. Dee Bradley Baker's playing every character besides Rampart, you know.
It says even Bradley Baker as the Bad Batch.
Yes, but what was who was the new clone that they showed today? The
so we have Captain Wilco,
Dee Bradley Baker.
Like, a lot of really good new characters in just these first two episodes.
And for those, I want to say this real quick. For those that haven't yet, if you can go follow our TikTok right now, because I posted a video from when Jerry and I were at Celebration of. Yes. Dee Bradley Baker and Michelle Aang of them doing a actual script read. So that's out there, and you can see Dee Bradley Baker work. You can see him work through it. And I agree though. It's like you've got such a difficult task with balancing all these characters, each giving them a moment, but Omega always gets the good moments. Like they save the most pure moments for her. And it's obviously very real. It's very raw. One of the most shocking moments in the show is the return of Cad Bane in last season, and for her to watch
Hunter
almost get killed
down.
I was like,
well, and you gotta think, she doesn't know he got back up.
No,
that's heartbreak. She doesn't know he got back up. So whenever she like catches, like sees him again, that hug. Oh. Just every inch of this with Omega, and like right now, I have it playing on the TV across the room here. It's where and we need to talk about. I want to talk a little bit about Romar Adele, in a minute. But when Romar, the old man who they kind of get hooked up with here, gives her the kaleidoscope essentially, it was the same kind of moment that made me fall in love with Omega in the first season, where she gets out and sees dirt for the first time.
Yep,
it was so. And again, it didn't feel stupid or genuine. It felt genuine.
It's a toy.
Right. When she's like, oh, are there gems in here? Like it didn't feel like she was dumb. It just felt like, wow, I have not experienced the world. And and just like, you know, and again, this is she's I think like what, like 12 around there, maybe?
I think so.
If that. And you forget, like when you're 12, you're still very much a child.
Oh, yeah.
And like just to have that, like any I'm trying to remember the exact line. It's a total, like she doesn't know what it is, and he's trying to explain to her, he's like, oh, blessed, you know, it's a toy, it's supposed to make you happy, it makes you happy, and believe me, that's more valuable than any jewel. That's what I love. Romar's got some really great moments, played by Mr. Hector Elizondo, of Pretty Woman fame, and
Diaries, Jerry,
and things
you
like that.
You did your research.
I did my research, and I whenever I found out it was this guy, I was like, oh, he's that character actor that you know. He's one of those character actors that you may not recognize the name. You see the face, and you're like, oh, it's him.
Oh,
it's that guy.
Oh, my God. Okay, well,
and I was thinking, this voice is so familiar. I feel like this is a good cameo. But
this
anyway.
Is a great cameo. I was going to share my screen for those that do not know what he looks like. And this may be a better view of
yes,
it.
Yes, Hector Elizondo. Again, here we go. Yeah, yeah. See, he's been basically this man's been in everything.
Yes. What an icon. He's, yeah. He's
literally in everything. From like Lifetime original movies to big blockbusters. I mean, Pretty yeah. Woman.
God, that's like that. Awesome.
Yeah. Also, he does a lot of voice work and everything. He does
I didn't
a
realize
lot
that.
Of voice work. Yes.
But wait, that line though, and we have a bunch of friends that collect professionally. Josh yes. and Andy at Hollow Chronicles, good friends of ours. They collect professionally. I know our buddy Pete collects helmets. We got some friends that collect books. That line was a straight up just like, don't this whatever you like to collect. Well, I'm just looking at yeah. things around right now. I like collecting the retro figures that have been all look at the prototype ones, right?
Yeah.
They're worth more to me than like my school yearbooks. I know that's silly, yeah. but like,
no, it's not. It's exactly not.
It's
that's
that
the thing.
It's what they make you feel, well, you know?
And it's not even that, like the whole point of that, the thesis being happiness is more important.
Mm-hmm.
Than jewels and everything.
Yes.
Which I mean is again like we get into other like show. Conversations and everything.
The whole theme of the show is the spoils of war. And you know, you can see Dooku just hoarded and kept all of the things that he thought was wealthy, and he
yes.
it didn't fulfill him, obviously. He was still an evil person. Whereas Omega, someone so pure just gets a kaleidoscope. It's like, this is incredible. Like, oh,
yeah, yeah.
Love it.
By the way, I love your Omega attempt right there. That was fantastic. I love, oh, it's incredible.
It's Weasties.
Oh, Charlie Ashby. Oi.
Yes, I agree. I had no idea that was him, but that makes sense now.
I was trying to think, like, this voice is so familiar. Who is yeah. this? I know this yeah. is going to be someone I'm going to go, whoa, that's who that mm-hmm. is. But yeah, yeah. No, Omega's innocence, Omega, like the, you know, we've talked to death, I think, about Michelle Ng's performance, which again, that's again, my hot take, best performance in Star Wars animation.
Yes.
Can we talk a little bit about this character that Hector plays?
Oh yeah.
Romar Adell.
Romar Adell.
So whenever this guy first pops up, first of all, there's definitely, you can tell there's definitely a style on Serena.
Oh, so he looks just like Dooku. I thought it'd be like Dooku's relative or something. The same face structure,
yeah.
kind of square.
Well,
yeah.
the mustache and the,
yes.
the hair and everything.
Uh-huh.
Oh yeah, yeah. Wrecker brought home a new toy this episode too.
That's right.
Hoping Omega doesn't try looking down. Yes, please no. You got to keep those locked away, Wrecker. Okay,
that's right.
Up in a cabinet where she does not have access. That's good parenting.
So. Yes, I agree.
Wrecker's more the big brother. If we're gonna be honest, Wrecker's more of the big brother than
he's
than
the big brother that lets you drive. He's the one that lets you drive, and you're like,
he's the cool uncle.
He's
the irresponsible cool uncle.
That's right.
He's like, here, drive my semi truck real quick. Like,
he definitely, yeah. He'd be like, want to go shooting? Like, you're like, oh, okay.
Want to go shooting?
Want to go to the
he's
range?
He's the one, like that Avatar meme that's been going around. The picture that of the bad one of the bad dudes from Way of Water with the sunglasses on. People like, you know, chat. When this dude's behind the grill, the burgers and dogs are gonna be insane.
We'll be busting,
that is Wrecker. On a more himbo, like, you know, less. Yeah,
this is very Wrecker.
But that's Wrecker, but like not as much of a hard ass douche. Like Wrecker has that childlike innocence that really saves him.
God, that's funny.
But yeah, but no. Anyway,
Romar.
Sorry, we were talking about Romar.
Romar.
And his fantastic fashion choices. I loved his vest.
Oh yeah.
But just what was your thought when it? So your first thought when he popped up was, this is a relative of Dooku.
Well, I thought that, but I also thought this guy's up to no good because his whole set town got bombarded, and like I'm like they're putting too much trust in him. Then they all had their blasters drawn. He's like, all right, just come back to my place. I'm like, oh, this is not gonna end up well. Like I really thought like there was gonna be a cliffhanger from this episode till the next one, and I'm glad there wasn't. Right?
Oh wow, no,
hell of a week.
A nice complete story.
Yes, very solid, very well done. But yeah, so I'm looking at this guy. I love that he is a refugee, he's a survivor of what happened on Cyrano, which is brilliant. I'm like, you get to see, and he even mentions like, no, Dooku did this. Like, we were mistreated by Dooku. We were his people.
Yeah, he stole from his people. God. That was great. Whenever he's getting trying to get Echo to help him fix the archive. Yes. He's like, oh, Separatist Archive. And he goes, no, Serenian, you know, we were a people before the war.
Yes.
I love it. I love this concept that there are people who do not support their regimes that they're under and everything, right? Like, you there's planets full. Thousands of planets, potential millions, if not billions of people on each one.
Yeah.
And you've got this guy who is like, there's several, apparently there's more, like these survivors who are like, hey, listen, we kind of got out of Dodge to kind of survive this. Dooku did this, you know, we just want y'all to leave. Mm-hmm. Like, we just want peace. I was so enamored with this character. I was so enamored with he felt like a pacifist, but very like, not, I don't know, like, he didn't feel like he wasn't a coward or anything. He was very, not the pacifist or coward. Like, you know, I'm a pacifist myself, but like,
yeah.
He felt very brave in his own way and everything. Like, I love when he comes up to Echo, he finds Echo calling him Ace, by the way. Mm-hmm. He was calling Ace.
What
Ace,
a great name.
Ace. He's like, I love it. I love it. I hope they like go back and find him again, because I love this character so much. But he's like, Ace, what did he say? He's like, I heard blaster fire and thought you could use help. Looks like I was right.
good.
He's got a little bit of sarcasm, but it's like, it's not a douchebag amount of sarcasm. It's you, sir, are a sage that I want to learn from. I agree. Kind of a thing. Yeah.
It's not like the Deveronian from last season.
Yeah.
The one that made him go in the mine, whatever that episode was, I don't remember.
Right.
But like, he didn't feel like that kind of an asshole, which was nice.
Right.
You know, like, because there is a fine line, you know, of how you want to approach certain things, and it was very well done with this one.
It's a good person. It's another one of those examples in Star Wars of, here is a simple person just like you.
Yep. Yes.
Who does good where they can.
Yep.
Because I'm even looking at the scene right now where he helps Echo up and like goes over there. Like, he's, you know, he ties up the rope to the speeder bike to try to help them out. Like, just, he's not a Jedi. He's not a soldier. He's not any of that. He's just doing the best he can. That's eventually what the rebellion is going to be. It's going to be the old people, the young people, all this, just the people who are coming together. Yeah. Which is what's so cool about the rebellion, and even ultimately the Citizen's Fleet at the end of, you know, Rise of Skywalker. And so I love that he's just kind of like that beginning of, there's more of us people. Like, listen, those old lines that the society and everything drew around us, separatist, republic, it doesn't matter in the face of true evil.
Well, he sees people in need too. That's the bigger part of this.
Yes.
He just sees someone that needs help, who is obviously hurt, and I don't know, he was a hero. He was a hero to them. Will we ever see him again? Honestly, I don't really know. We don't need at least to me. We don't really need to. Me too. But he fulfilled a huge story, and maybe that guy will be their connect on Cyrano as well. There's just a lot. Yeah. I really, really look forward to seeing how the rest of this season develops. And I think it's going to be a great season just based off these first two episodes alone. Did you want to bring up anything else, by the way? I didn't even ask you.
God, I'm trying to think. Like, we talked about Wrecker using the tank battery and the can, like, the all that kind of stuff. This is how professional we are, guys. We're going over, I'm going over my
we can talk about Rampart.
Well, let's talk about Rampart. Or do you want to talk about Rampart last, or you talk about Wanda Sykes?
Wanda was great.
Because Wanda Sykes' introduction, voice. I'm already, so the character's name, I've got it written down as well, is Fee, and I'm going to say Genoa. It's G-E-N-O-A, and I'm thinking, because again, I am G-E-R-R-Y, Jerry.
Yes.
I'm going to go Genoa. So Fee Genoa, and she's a pirate.
Mm-hmm. And I love her already. Like
oh, great just, character.
Well, I mean, Wanda fact. Sykes is already charismatic as hell, right?
Yeah.
So you're obviously going to fall in love, but just that it was such a quick, mm-hmm. you know, we're going to see more of her this season, but yeah. just such a quick introduction of, oh, hey, you know, guys are clones. Oh, yeah.
Who's the Trandoshan lady? What's her name? Roz? No, what's her name?
No.
Roz is from
No, Hunter. Sid. Roz Sid. Is from Monsters, Bounty. Inc.
Oh, Sid. Also Sid. Bounty Hunter. No, yes. Sid was also voiced by Danny DeVito's wife. Damn it, what's her name?
I'm trying to. Sorry, I didn't write that one down.
But it's cool to hear these to have Rhea Perlman. It's cool to have these who was on Cheers. It's cool to have these, you know, ladies being able to come back and play Star Wars roles through animation as well. I mean, we've gotten a lot of that with Book of Boba Fett and with Mando, and I don't know. I've really enjoyed having these different voices and these different characters show up. And Wanda Sykes is one of those iconic ones over the hedge. I mean, you can name her from a bunch of shows, and like, what a great comedian, what a great sound to her voice. And like, her character model was great. I don't know. It's definitely someone Sid would hang around in that moment where Sid's like, you know, maybe we'll on Ord Mantell, we'll even get ran over at one point. Well, that feels wrap up operations. I'm like,
I don't like that because she's, but that's what I love about Bad Batch is it's that slow crawl.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, the Republic were the good guys, but now they're kind of just staying and they're not very nice anymore.
Yes.
It's like a switch flipped overnight and they are like very, very scary.
Oh yeah.
And they're going to planets where they're not supposed to be.
Yep.
Like they have no presence. And to see it through the eyes of the clones again is just, again, that's why this show just shines so brightly. I agree. Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Anyway. Okay.
Great character.
No.
But
I don't know if Alex said this, but there is a white Boba Fett helmet in Sid's office.
There is. It is a white Mando helmet, but it looks like a Boba helmet, which is very interesting.
It looks like the prototype Boba helmet, of course.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Yes. This is the truest form. So let's talk, I guess, Rampart coming in at the end. Right?
Ruthless.
What a great villain.
But kind of dumb.
I love that it's immediately like the Empire is like these, like all of the hierarchy of the Empire. It's these mm-hmm. sniveling dudes who are like assholes who really want, like, they want to secure their power.
No matter,
and they'll do whatever
what.
They can to keep it, but they're also really cowardly.
Yep.
And like
super
this,
cowardly.
That he, this was very cowardly in what he did. It. He's like, listen, you can't say anything about the Bad Batch being like. This can't be Clone Force 99.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be dead. And if Tarkin finds out, it's going to be my ass. So I need you to do this.
It's like, I wonder if that clone commander had his inhibitor chip taken out, because they usually have to follow the orders of whoever is talking to them. And that's what it made it seem like what happened when Order 66 occurred. Well, they just became drones, you know? And we see that in Bad Batch too. But when he's like, no, I have to give them the full report. Like, I'm not going to.
I think that's why they're phasing him out so fast. I think that the chip was only to do the killing of the Jedi.
Yeah.
And then they don't question. They are genetically modified to not question orders. But these are also all of these soldiers spent massive amounts of time with the Jedi who treated them like human beings, who gave them stories, who gave them something to look up to, I don't know, like of course that these soldiers are going to we're going to need to get them the hell out.
Yes,
I agree. Get new guys in who are going to be easy and malleable, because these soldiers are, they'll do orders and stuff, but they're kind of starting to get wise.
Exactly.
You know, I think that's what we're going to be seeing eventually. But then we might even see a clone uprising, Scotty, a little one.
That's why I thought we'd see the end of Bad Batch. Season one, but I think they might be setting up for that with season two.
Well, maybe season two, maybe on down the line. Maybe that's the end game for Bad Batch, however many seasons we go.
This is perfect right here. it is very much tied to the Andor in the sense of like, no matter what,
yes,
they will, there will be competition among ranks and like Rampart climbing to the top. It's very slow. And I saw someone made a tweet. I don't know who it was, but it was like, who Rampart wants to be. And it's like, obviously Thrawn. He just wants to be Thrawn, but he can't be, you know? And I don't think Thrawn at this point in canon had even, he might be in the very lowest ranks of the Imperial.
Well, I don't even think he's there yet. Yeah. I don't, like, this is like, what, a year maybe?
Yeah.
Not even a year. This is like a few months, I think, after Revenge of the Sith.
Interesting. That's a good point. But like, you see these characters, you know, this guy having, or this archetype, really, if you think about it, of an Imperial, no matter what, is going to try to conquer and is going to try to take over, you know, what we have as an establishment. It's because they were originally designed to follow orders. Look, this is beautiful. Yes, they weren't. And that's the thing. That's a great point, Brian, because no matter what, you have, we're all compassionate people deep down, even if you don't want to show it. And he was like, no, I'm going to, those, that was the Clone Force. That was two members of Clone Force 99. And I'm going
to write
that report.
If anything, he's just trying to be a good soldier and say, dude, no. Like, good, they're still alive. Orders. What are you talking about? They're still alive. Like, God. it's not even like trying to go against the Empire at all. It's like, no, they gotta know these dudes are still alive. And for some reason, it makes you wonder. So is that the story that Crosshair gives when he goes back?
Well,
did Crosshair go back?
Did he just say like he woke up and everyone was dead, or he, or what? I mean, did he?
I got
he
a shuttle.
A certain card.
I got out on a shuttle or something.
Like,
yeah.
You gotta think he's gonna make it to where his story is still valid, so he can't say he saw them all die. I don't think he's gonna say that. I think he'll just say that he, you know, woke up unconscious and no one was around him, because he assumed they all died on Topeka City, you know, just like the Empire did. Or I don't know. I just, I love it. I know it's silly, but like,
it's juicy. No, it's not. Stop saying it's not silly.
So much. There's so much.
There's so much meat on this bone.
Yep. And we got a whole bunch more episodes. We have like what? Like, isn't it like it's 14 episodes? First two.
It's something. So we've got like,
we've got 14 more left. We've got well until Mando March 1st until this show is pretty much done.
There's 16 episodes. There's 16. Jeez. All together, there are 32 episodes. There will be 32 episodes by when it's all said and done this month.
I've missed log seasons.
I kind of love it too, because with the Clone Wars, I feel like with these animated shows, especially too, you got to give them room to breathe.
Yep.
Right? Like, you got to give them room to develop. That's why I think these kind of stick with us a little better than the, like, people will talk all out their ass about, it's filler, blah blah blah,
yeah
but there are little moments here and there that build slowly to,
I agree,
some of the best moments in Star Wars.
100% agree.
In animation, frankly.
Yep. It's great.
It's fantastic.
Hey,
we love it.
Why if you hadn't this, go watch that.
If you hadn't noticed, we like The Bad Batch.
We really do.
It's better than Andor. Go tell Andor to
best voice acting
to suck monkey butt and
no, you can like Andor and Bad Batch. We're just being silly.
We like it all. We're those assholes. We like it all.
But it appears, Jerry, I want to say this, it appears our horizontal live stream may have been a little bit of a hit. We've had a lot of people, very consistent viewership.
You guys like this?
We're thinking next week, come back. Episode 3 of season 2. The same exact format.
Thinking about it.
If you haven't yet, by the way, all the places you can follow us, the Bombadcast on Facebook, the _ Bombadcast on Instagram, which we're live at right now. We're still live there. Oh, cool. Bombadcast on Twitter. And of course, at the Bombadcast on TikTok. We want to get to 1,000 followers on TikTok soon.
Yes, please.
If we can,
go
we're
right
at 300
there.
If you can. Follow us on TikTok or share our stuff on
TikTok.
Go there
after this.
Because we just want to get more people in our TikToks to hang out and chat with us.
We want more people to join the Bombad fam. We want
And we've got some people this evening.
We've got some new members of the Bombad fam.
Star Wars
Sublight. Welcome.
Amazing.
Star Wars Sublight. Emma.
Yes.
Let's see. Here we go. We got Emma. who else have jumped in? And like, again, Yannick. Thanks, Alex, for yeah, for the shout out, I guess. Yes,
Yannick. With the stream snipe. We've got we got Thanora. I mean, we've just look at this. Wonderful. Welcome, that you can all join us this evening. I had a blast doing this. And like I said, next week, there will be more. Look,
there will
more
be
more.
There will be more. Yes.
And of course, you know, we don't just do this show. I can pull up a graphic from a different folder, but it would look terrible. But we do. We have our main show, Bombadcast. You can see it in the corner where we talk about big Star Wars stuff up there. You would normally see it there. But where we have a very special guest coming on next week. We're taking a day off for tomorrow, our last little holiday. We're going to plan, get some stuff done. But next, very excited for next week. We got Joe Organa. What the?
Joe is coming. Joe is, and more ways than one. I'm just kidding. I'm joking. I'm joking, of course.
It's going to get sweaty. I can't wait.
Scotty is letting Joe out of the kennel, and he's going to come on screen. And it's I mean, he's going to be on screen. And of course, it's going to be great.
I know Jerry has some things in the works for Hyperfocus, which is his show. And I've got things for next week for Bombad Gaming. No Bombad Gaming tonight because I got to go back to work tomorrow. Ah, I got to be there with the kids. I want to get
that's a rough
nice
day.
Night's sleep. Yeah, it's never easy.
That's a rough day when you got to go back from the vacation. From a break. Absolutely. Oh.
And it's like a mass day. So I got to play guitar. And there's a lot. Welcome. Oh, Seth's in here. Love Seth. Wonderful, wonderful. But everyone, thank you for joining. We really don't have a proper end of the show. Jerry, I don't know if you want to plug anything that you have going on or what you're looking forward to, or we can just wrap up. I don't know.
Nothing right now. I hope you're all watching Willow, because Willow has been badass. Like I've been really, really enjoying Willow. But yeah, no. Follow me at The Canon Junkie. Follow Scotty at The Scotty J-Row. Follow Bombadcast at Bombadcast on Twitter. And I mean, all the socials and all that kind of stuff. Thank you so much, Emma. You've been so sweet. Emma, we appreciate you stopping by.
Welcome to the Bombad fan, Emma. This is great. New people to hang out, and I appreciate it. And I do gotta say this before we end, because William sent a big long message earlier that we didn't really get a chance to bring up. But
yes, please hide my face with it.
William said, yeah, there it is. Just know it's National Trivia Day. Let's take a moment to commemorate Scotty for his jaw-dropping sacrifice to the Bombad Cats. December 2nd, 2021. Rip Jared the Dark. Look, it's not just me. Jerry did that too. For people that seen Jerry did that too.
I listen, yeah, you gotta start putting my name on that tombstone as well.
I agree.
Scotty is Scotty didn't do the effing KO. Like we both wadded up a
joint
punch.
Effort.
We cooked a punch, both of us together. I'm knocking my stuff off my desk.
Don't knock it onto your laptop.
We knocked him
again
in the next week. We knocked him back to Elfrona.
Yes.
Don't mess with the batch. Don't mess. And also, I've won my solo match.
That's true. You did. I haven't even had a solo
against
match
Buck
yet.
So
Buck O'Brien, what a king.
Let's just say, we are a formidable team. You can't
we really
beat
are.
Team Bombad. That's all
two
I'll say.
Of the best. And yes, Seth, we're trying something out. Not every stream, but just for our Wednesday
for a Bad Batch
short coverage of Bad Batch. But thank you everyone for joining. And as always, for those that do not know, we have a little tagline we usually end our show with. Jerry, what is that tagline?
That tagline is right here. It's Stay Bombad. Stay Bombad.